Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, number three, rolling along this morning. And when we get to Friday, when we get ready for the NFL weekend, we go over games. We talk about the games. We buzz about them. But we also give you our thoughts of whether or not these games have value. What are the little storylines in each game? We don't give you the prediction of who's going to win, because you can make your own prediction on who's going to win. But we also give you some little tidbits in each game. We'll do that coming up. Robert Griffin III, who has become an outstanding analyst. I like him. I know some people disagree with some of his takes. I think he's a great analyst because he's really breaking down stuff. Whether you agree with him or not, he's willing to go out and say, hey, maybe these are things you're not seeing. Earlier today, we were talking about Justin Fields, and I was saying, look, I don't think he's in the right spot. I just don't think he's with the right team. They're not putting him in a position to be successful, and it's too bad, too, because his accuracy is way off. His college career, he showed tremendous accuracy when he was at Ohio State. It was one of his strong points. He had a lot of the things that you would check off as a starting quarterback to be successful in this league, and the Bears are not doing it. They've got a defensive-minded head coach. They're not putting him with a coach that can be successful. The offensive line is terrible. Robert Griffin III on Twitter just put this out. Before you crucify Justin Fields, make sure you actually watch the film. He's playing behind a group of up front that makes him move off his spot more times than not. He has free runners when he's not supposed to be hot, and the scheme has moved away from his strengths. I'm glad he's been able to bring that up, because, again, we have a very short patience with players in this league, right? You go from star college quarterback, first round pick, to bust really, really quickly when there's a lot of circumstances in between. Look at Zach Wilson, right? Zach Wilson is with the Jets. They've won two in a row. It's his second year. He's coming back from this knee injury that he suffered in the preseason. But when you draft a guy in the first, Sam Darnold was in the same position. On a lousy team, you are expected to do some great things to overcome everything else around you that's not very good. The Bears don't have a very good offensive line, and yet he has to run out of the pocket all the time. It's allowed him to run a lot, for pick up a lot of yardages, so much so that the Bears actually are a top five running team in the league, despite the fact their offensive line is terrible. There's a little more to every story. You know, there are players we can go, can't play at this level. Is Justin Fields one of those? I don't think so yet, but he's got to get with an organization, and this organization in particular has got to put him in position to be successful, and they're not doing that. All right, we'll go over the games of the weekend as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. We're also going to be giving away a pay-per-view voucher for this weekend's Wilder-Helenas fight coming up in Brooklyn.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got a good fight coming up this weekend in Brooklyn, New York. The WBC heavyweight world champion, boxing superstar, Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder, is going up against Robert the Nordic Nightmare Helenius, a 12-round WBC heavyweight title eliminator. The winner of this likely to be back in the heavyweight title fight. Deontay Wilder, you know about his epic battles with Tyson Fury. He suffered back-to-back losses, and those are the only two losses of his career were to Tyson Fury. 42 wins, 41 knockouts, the explosive power of Deontay Wilder from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. This has been a wide-open heavyweight division for a while, and now Wilder has had his piece of the pie. But you remember that trilogy. It's fantastic. Well, he's going up against Robert Helenius, who started off his career on fire, 22-0, bright young boxing superstar. Injury, some losses, sort of tied itself together, and now he has been working his way back, and he has got two big fights that he's coming off of. So this is going to be a nice bout in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. Catch it on Fox Sports pay-per-view. It's going to start Saturday at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And then there's a good undercard as well, as we got Anthony the Dog Morrell. He'll be going up against Curtis Sweepy. So that's a good undercard battle as well. So there's some really good fights. Again, Deontay Wilder, Robert Helenius, that's going to be going on in Brooklyn. You can catch it on foxsports.com pay-per-view. All right, so let's get the music going and let's get our NFL schedule coming up. By the way, we're going to be giving a voucher away for that fight on Twitter. So hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. The game you're looking for this weekend, other than Bills, Chiefs, and Cowboys, Eagles. You want to start at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta? The Falcons taking on the 49ers? 2-3 versus 3-2. Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners go to Atlanta, looking to bounce back after their loss to Tampa. The Niners are coming off that win against Carolina. The Falcons are a tough team. They're a tough team to figure at 2-3. They're not good, but they don't go away easy. You don't beat them easy. So I still like this game from the Niners' perspective. I just don't like it in general. So I'm going to give this like a 3 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, no, there's something off. I mean, I'm excited because I'm curious to see what Jimmy can do with the Niners. And I think that's the appeal to me. I have no interest in watching the Falcons right now.
Well, I'd like to see if Jimmy can continue doing what he's always done with the Niners, which is just win games and people go, I still don't like him, man. I still think we need a better quarterback.
That or try to figure out, like, how does he keep doing this?
Yeah. The Patriots against the Browns. It's Bailey Zappe time if Mac Jones can't play. Please do not tell me we're doing this quarterback thing. Where
it's a quarterback controversy, right? Tony.
Come on,
accept it.
I can't.
Accept it.
I can't do the flavor of the month thing. I can't. I just, like, Bailey Zappe. All right. If he throws 4 touchdowns against the Browns, then maybe. But what has he done?
Do Patriot fans believe, did they ever have a thought that when Brady left, their golden child of 20-plus years, that they would have a quarterback controversy between Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But Mac Jones is the quarterback. Let's stop with the guy who threw a touchdown pass against the Packers and had everybody go on Twitter.
No, he
completed a pass.
You said it before. It's Zappe hour.
Zappe hour in New England. Jacoby Brissett still leading those Browns, chugging away, trying to get those 11 games in before the Deshaun Watson era begins. Oh, good Lord. A little intriguing because both of these teams, would you say that both of these teams, look, they're not going to win their division, but they could be in the mix of for the three teams for the wild card.
God, you know? I don't know about that.
Well, they're built pretty well. I mean, the Patriots are well-coached. They've got good talent. The Browns have got a very good defense and a good, strong running game. I mean, honestly, at the end of the season, I mean, do you think both of these teams have losing records?
I don't know. Well, I think they're both going to be on the outside looking in.
Like, right. No. I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs. I'm saying, like, in the conversation.
Are you really thinking both of these teams are like... I'm not saying they're terrible. I'm not saying that they're going to be, you know, they're going to be eliminated
one of these
with 3
teams,
weeks to go.
One of these teams is going to be 2-4.
Right.
And that's going to be really hard. But the other team's going to be 3-3. And kind of being like, all right.
Still think there's too much football left. I don't really see it with these two.
No, okay. All right. Well, that's where I was going with it. Maybe that's the appeal of this, is that if they want to hang around in the pool of teams that we're going to pluck 3 from a wild card standpoint, then this game becomes important.
Well, I was going to say,
I wouldn't want to be 2-4 after 6 weeks.
I was going to say this may be another job interview for Jacoby Brissett.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe he auditions for the Patriots again.
Again. All right. Jets and Packers. What's more surprising, the Jets at 3-2 or the Packers at 3-2 and not playing well?
That is a great question.
Yeah.
That I don't have an answer to.
Jets won 2 in a row. Zach Wilson came back from the knee injury. He's won 2 games straight. The Packers are 3-2, but they don't look like a good football team.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they don't. They didn't close out the Giants like they should have. They're only averaging 19 points per game. Rodgers is playing pretty well, but overall, it's like they're not the Packers. They don't feel like the Packers.
No, and what stinks is that, you know, the feeling I get from the Packers is that they're just going to end up in the playoffs.
Right.
They're not going to fight their way. It's not going to be a clear this. It's like, well, you know, someone had to go. Might as well be us.
I like this game, though, because, I mean, think about it. I mean, if the Packers win, they're heavily favored by it, more than a touchdown. But what if the Jets win this, and all of a sudden we got to deal with them, too, as a 3-3 team?
Yeah, we do.
Like, at the beginning of the season, I like to put some teams in the cupboard, and, like, that was one of the teams I put in the cupboard.
We're gonna celebrate.
Yeah, Zach Wilson and the Jets. All right, we'll see. But that's got some intrigue here. I think the Packers are more vulnerable. Normally, I would say, nah, boo, Packers win by a million.
Yeah.
But not this year. They're not winning by a million, and I don't know. So this one's got some intrigue.
When was the last time both New York teams got over Green Bay?
Right, yeah.
In the same season. Has that ever happened?
Not over the last couple of years. Jaguars and Colts. If Jacksonville is looking for the season sweep, they swept the Colts earlier this season, and the Jags have lost two in a row, and Trevor Lawrence hasn't played good in either game. He's got a couple of turnovers. He had four or five and gets Eagles in the wet. But he's only thrown two touchdowns and three interceptions in the two losses. So even he's not like playing well and they're losing. He's not playing well and they're losing, which is kind of an explanation. So maybe he plays better and they win.
I can buy that.
All right. So there you go.
But I mean, I don't really. I mean, there's.
I don't know if this one stands out very much.
I don't think it does at all.
No.
If it's in your local area, Indy, Jacksonville, yeah, you're gonna watch it. You're gonna.
It's too bad for the Colts. I feel bad for Indianapolis fans. That's as well built of a team as you could have for the last number of years. And the quarterback, of course, that's the most important thing. Phillip Rivers got you to the playoffs. Carson Wentz could not. Matt Ryan is probably not going to. So.
Nope.
I feel bad for Matt Ryan, man. I think it's over. I think I don't know why you would continue after this year. I would just go, I can't do it.
I think he had his heyday.
38 years old. I don't want to go through this again. No, don't do it, man. Just call it a career. Vikings, Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa and Teddy Bridgewater both in the concussion protocol.
Any word on Tua might be playing?
Yeah, I was gonna say, any rumors on their situation this weekend? Bridgewater probably too soon.
Yeah. With the new order.
What a weird sport that you can be taken off the field in a stretcher and like 2 weeks later you're back out there slinging it around. Vikings are 4-1. All right, we do this with the Vikings all the time. They should be good. They should be good. They should be good. Maybe this year they are good. All right, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins. Maybe they are good. All right, but all right. These are some of the this is a pretty good game. This is like a 4, depending on who the Dolphins start a quarterback. But if it's Skylar Thompson, no, not at all. That would be the same team that lost to the Jets, and no, I'm not into that. Although I do like. I like Miami around them, man. I want the Dolphins to do well. I like that. I thought that they were the more fun story at the beginning of the season when they were playing that well and Tua was playing that well and it looked like it was clicking and Mike McDaniel's a good coach and all of that. I feel bad for this team because they've fallen on this time with their quarterback where they can't really shape it, but that's still a pretty good football team. That's still a good football team. They just need a better quarterback play. And when you have your one and two guys out, it's going to be difficult.
Well, Teddy, I guess Tua's going to be out, but Teddy might be cleared to play, but he'll be the backup.
Okay. Yeah, so he'll be backup to Skylar Thompson.
He'll be the backup in this.
All right.
For this one.
Maybe Skylar Thompson goes, all right, I get this now. I got it. It took me a game. I'm in.
Go for it.
So,
we're only happy when the Dolphins are winning.
Bengals, Saints. How about Cincinnati? Joe Burrow returning to New Orleans.
The returning home?
Returning to Louisiana. This Bengal team, though, is 2-3, and the Saints are 2-3. Taysom Hill, 4 touchdowns. I like the way I heard one person say, Andy Dalton, don't forget about him. He led the Saints to a win.
That's right.
Yeah, but come on, man. It was, Taysom
Hill. Why is it Joe Burrow returning home and not Andy Dalton facing his former team?
Right. Why isn't it that? Good point. Yeah. Why is it Joe Burrow returning to the land of Cajun?
Yeah. And you know what I'm more curious about? Mm-hmm. Well, how's the crowd react when Joe Burrow sets foot in that stadium?
Yeah, that's interesting because, man, there's a lot of LSU fans in New Orleans.
I'm sure
there's Tulane fans, too, but a lot of LSU fans.
I think there's got to be a rousing applause for him.
I got to think so. Sort
None
of a next
Andy
level
Dalton.
Uber star. But that's Bengals Saints going up at the Superdome.
Yeah, I keep forgetting Andy Dalton's on this team. Is that bad?
Yeah, I know. It's too bad. Poor Andy Dalton, man. Just disappeared out in the sun. It's a rematch of Super Bowl 35. The Giants and the Ravens. Kerry Collins against Trent Dilfer. No, this time it is Daniel Jones and Lamar Jackson at MetLife Stadium. I'm sorry, kids. This is actually a good one. I know you're not believing on the Giants, but this is a good one.
Out of all the 12 o'clock games.
Yeah, this is good.
The 1 o'clock Eastern time games. This is the one that you hope to be watching.
Lamar Jackson, 12 touchdown passes, playing for himself, just like Aaron Judge in baseball. They're 3-2. The Giants, 4-1, a come-from-behind win against the Packers. They have beaten the AFC's top team last year. They beat the top NFC team last year. They are doing it in come-from-behind fashion. They are doing it with a brand-new coach in Brian Daboll. Saquon Barkley is running the ball. Daniel Jones is doing his God-honest best to keep his job. Folks, lock yourself in the afternoon for Giants-Ravens.
Well said.
Yes.
I mean, like you said, I'm excited for this one. This should be a fun game. I'm starting to become a believer in the Giants.
Me too.
And
I know they're not put together exactly the way they want, but
and I'm going to say this to all the Giants fans, all you New Yorkers out there, you should be applauding Lamar Jackson for betting on himself because your own man did it just recently.
Yeah, that's right.
Took a page out of Aaron Judge's playbook. Playing for himself and doing it well.
Excellent stuff. The final afternoon game is going to be on Fox as Pittsburgh takes on the Buccaneers. Steelers have lost four in a row.
Suffered
their worst loss since 1989, losing by 35 to Buffalo. Here's a stat that came out of this game, and I wanted to share it with you because it's one that's been driving me crazy over the years. Tom Brady is 12-3 in his career against Pittsburgh. 12-3. And we're talking about really good Steeler teams. And I know he was on Patriot teams that won Super Bowls. But that era of football is always going to drive me crazy. I am happy Ben won two Super Bowls. If you get one Super Bowl in your lifetime, you should feel good. But that era, we had Steeler teams that were so unbelievably good, and yet they were not Patriots good. He always found a way to beat the Steelers all the time. Right. Playoffs, regular season, Heinz Field, Foxborough, didn't matter. Didn't matter. He always found a way. He found a way to beat everybody, but the Steelers, man, he just would tear up.
I got a stat for you.
Yes.
Tom Brady is 0-0 against Kenny Pickett.
That's
right.
That? That's right. How about that?
How about that?
Kenny Pickett has never faced Tom Brady.
Right.
That's a good point. That's a very, very good point. Excellent. I like that. Kenny Pickett making his second career start has yet to throw a touchdown pass, folks. You see what happens when Bailey Zappi throws a touchdown pass? It's Zappi hour. Everybody loses their mind. Maybe he should be the new quarterback of the Patriots. Thank you, Mac Jones, for your service to our country. All of that. Kenny Pickett hasn't thrown a touchdown pass, and yet we wait. We wait. Throw one, and then everybody will start talking about you in the same way as Bailey Zappi.
They might name a sandwich after you.
Yeah, Bailey Zappi was a fourth-round pick, but he threw a touchdown pass. Kenny Pickett, a first-round pick, hasn't, and he's not getting the Bailey Zappi love. 1-4, the Steelers. 0-2 at home. Buccaneers at 3-2. All right, we'll come back. Late afternoon games as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we'll continue looking at the NFL games. By the way, not that many left because the Lions, the Titans, the Raiders, and the Texans are all on bye weeks, as we have now reached that point on the calendar where we have got bye weeks. So we have two less games this weekend in week number 6. Let's get to the late afternoon games, shall we? Let's go to the Rams. They are at SoFi Stadium. They're going to be hosting the Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule has been fired, and Steve Wilks, who was a one-year Arizona Cardinals head coach, has now taken over the Panthers. This is P.J. Walker's time, the former XFL quarterback, with Sam Darnold hurt, with Baker Mayfield hurt. He is likely to be the starter at quarterback. The Rams are 2-3 and better get their act together, or the Super Bowl champions are going to find themselves looking up at teams.
Is this a game that the Panthers win?
Right. The Panthers win this because they're playing hard for Steve Wilks.
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah.
The coach just got fired. No one's giving them a chance.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that could be one of those things where the players are like, finally, we actually have an NFL coach here.
This is too soon, man.
Is it too soon?
It's only been 4 days, 5 days. Come on.
Who was the guest that we had on from Charlotte?
Sharon.
Sharon. She said Thorson. It best. She goes, he called it a program.
Yeah.
He said this program. He can't even get the lingo right moving up in the rankings of being an NFL head coach. Good for Matt Rhule going back to college.
Yep.
Eventually.
He's got his pick of places to go, too.
But he's getting paid $40 million, man. What the heck is... This is so bizarre.
That's a fantastic severance package.
What a job, man. It's almost like you look forward to when they go, okay, can we see you in the office for a second? Yeah. And there's like two people standing next to that individual. Well, like, I'm going to get a check. A big one.
Yeah, let's look at it this way, right? Okay, because, you know, obviously if a college program signs him, you know, hires him, they're probably going to wait till the end of the season to make that kind of move.
Right, right.
So he's not hurting for money. And he's got the holiday season off.
Yeah, and he can chill out and figure out where
he
wants
to go. He can travel everywhere he wants to go. He can attend all his kids' events.
And the other thing, too, is he may look at the landscape of college sports and go, and college openings and go, you know what? Not this year. Maybe my agent will keep my name alive during the next season. Maybe there's some more openings next season that I like better than what's available now. So. But the Rams at 2-3, again, would love to get to 3-3 just to kind of kick around. But that division isn't going anywhere. It's not like they got an Eagles there that's running away with it.
Which is bizarre, because we thought, you know, usually we're talking about that division just taking off.
Somebody's got to win the West. Kara, the Cardinals and the Seahawks, I'm sorry, but I expect a little more from Arizona, and yet they're just a mediocre team right now.
Geno Smith is going to win this game.
I think so. I'm not kidding. Geno Smith's playing good.
Yeah.
1,300 yards passing, 9 touchdowns. They lost a game to the Saints. Too bad. That's the way it is.
But I mean,
pretty good.
When you're playing so well that you get one of your former coaches and Rex Ryan questioning, where was this guy?
Yeah.
You know, he'd probably I think Rex Ryan even said, it's like, I probably would have a Super Bowl.
How I know. How do you think Pete Carroll feels right now? He's probably looking around going, I was right about Russell Wilson this whole time, and none of you believed us.
Not only that, but do you think he's also looking around like, oh man, I was so set to retire.
I know.
I was so done, and then this happens.
Now I got a team that plays hard for me every single week.
Just when I thought Gino I was Smith out, you pulled bad. Me back in.
2-3 is the same record as the Rams, as the Cardinals. They're looking up at San Francisco, but again, nobody's running away with the division, so Seattle's just as much in play as any other team.
Yeah.
Why not? And it's not like I don't think the Cardinals are so exponentially better that they'll run away.
That's why I said I think Geno Smith wins this game.
All right. Nance and Romo at Arrowhead.
That's it. That's all the football action for this weekend.
No other games
to watch for.
Chiefs, Bills. I got to tell you, this is where it gets fun, right? You want to own a football team. This is why these moments where everything is this. I covered the Broncos for 10 years. Denver was never Kansas City good, but there were a couple of games where I felt like the luckiest person in the city being able to go to the game, be actively covering the game. It's a fun, fun time. These are the games you love. Just the atmosphere the whole week. The city's on fire. It's awesome. Even though it's a regular season game and both teams are going their own way after this and own way to success, no one's eliminated or anything, it's still awesome. It's still electric. It's going to be great.
And I will say this. If you thought the stadium was loud on Monday,
wait for this one.
Oh, God.
And you're watching, again, you're watching Manning Brady, right? You're watching two quarterbacks that are going to do this for years and years and years. Hopefully years and years and years, barring catastrophic injuries. But hopefully years and years and years, these two guys will be going at it so much so that when they're in their 30s, they'll be hugging each other at midfield one day going, wasn't it fun? Didn't we have a great time? Wasn't it a blast?
Yep.
It's that kind of buildup. Cowboys, Eagles, Cooper Rush again, taking that train as far as he can go.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? Just keep the day drinking going from here.
Yeah, because right after the Chiefs, Bills, pop it over and watch this one.
Yeah. Because I have a feeling that you're not going to get a whole lot of Football Night in America in.
No.
I think Chiefs Bills goes a little bit a while. I don't know if we're going to get that feverish, you know, 13 seconds left type of feel that we had last time or in overtime. But, you know, I think the game extends itself. You go right into Cowboys Eagles, your adrenaline's still pumping.
Eagles 5-0, Cowboys 4-1. No one scored over more than 20 points against the Cowboys all season. The Eagles are averaging 27. Top 10 in passing and rushing with Jalen Hurts. Cooper Rush has won his last four starts. Micah Parsons is fantastic. Great, great back-to-back games in the late part of week number 6. And, of course, the Monday night game is Broncos and Chargers.
I'll SoFi be watching Stadium. That one.
Yes, of course. Why not? We can watch Russell Wilson lead teams to field goals. Ha, ha, ha. Sorry. Too soon? I guess it's too soon.
The only thing I can say with that Sunday night lineup
is
that Major League Baseball better hope all their games are wrapped up.
I know. Very much so. It's too many eyes on the football.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're going to have Jerry Palm of CBS Sports to come on and talk some college football coming up this weekend. Just spent the last two segments going over the games in the NFL, but don't forget, there are some top 25 matchups all across college football in every single Power 5 conference. Big 10, Penn State and Michigan, the ACC, Syracuse, North Carolina State. Big one in Knoxville is Tennessee takes on Alabama. Both teams unbeaten, ranked in the top 10. Big 12, Oklahoma State, ranked 8th, is going up against TCU in Fort Worth. The Horned Frogs have emerged as a high-scoring team in the Big 12. And, of course, the Pac-12, night game out in Salt Lake City. It is ranked 20th-ranked Utah, taking on number 7 USC. So we've got top 25 matchups across the board. There's even one in Lexington, number 22 Kentucky, taking on number 16 Mississippi State. So, again, some good battles that are going on in college football. And the Tennessee-Alabama one, of course, has had my interest now for some time. A lot of it is the proximity of where I live to Tennessee and feeling it a little bit more and understanding the progress of where the Vols have been going over the last couple of years. But again, rivalries are weird because this is not a rivalry for Alabama like Auburn is, right? And for Tennessee, this is a rivalry because they've played, for many, many years, going back to like 1901. But for Tennessee, ever since Phil Fulmer left, you've had all of these coaches that have come in and have just sort of gone through the motions against Alabama. They have not won a game in the series since 2006, but now they've got a team that might be able to do that. Jerry Palm joins us, CBS Sports, on Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Jerry?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right, Alabama-Tennessee, as I was just touching on, it has been one-sided since the day Nick Saban got to Tuscaloosa. He's never lost to Tennessee. But the Vols, a feeling for this Vols team, there's been different versions of this that have been like, maybe this is the year. How big is this game in terms of what this team can do?
Well, obviously, it's the litmus test for Tennessee because, like you said, they haven't won this game since 2006. So it's, this is how they're going to have to measure themselves. And until they win this game, it will always be how they measure themselves. So, they've got a great offense. This year, they're explosive. They're a challenge for anybody who plays them. Their offense, their defense is improved from last year, which is why we could even discuss this game as a possibility for Tennessee to win. But then you also have, is Bryce Young going to play for
right.
Alabama? And that's really important. It looks like he'll play, but if he does not play and they have to go with Jalen Milroe again, who's very talented, but, inexperienced, and in a situation now to have to go into Knoxville and play a really hungry Tennessee team, well, I don't like their chances with Jalen Milroe of coming away with a win. Bryce Young, I would pick Alabama, but I think it's a more competitive game than sometimes we have seen in this series.
Yeah, in Alabama, I know the quarterback is going to be the key there, but defensively, what is this Crimson Tide team? We know they've got good defense. Is this yet another stellar defensive team that Nick Saban has?
They certainly have the pieces to be that. I don't know that they've always been that, but they're so aggressive, especially in the front seven, getting after the quarterback. I mean, you saw last week, Texas A&M's quarterback could get the snap and could barely move.
Yeah.
They have an array of blitzes and ways to pressure the quarterback and really make you uncomfortable. And then they've got, guys who can cover on the back end. So it is a terrific defense. It's going to be a challenge for Tennessee's offense to keep that unit on balance. And I think for Tennessee, they're going to have to find ways to run the ball so that they aren't so one-dimensional that Alabama can pin their ears back and just go after them.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I love this Tennessee offense. It's fun, but let's say Alabama's got some things working defensively where that sort of offensive style gets shut down. How often do you want to get on and off the field if you play against Alabama?
Yeah, you want to get off the field coming out of the end zone.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to be coming off the field because your punt unit's coming on. Not too often against Alabama because their offense is really good too when Bryce Young plays. And that's the thing, is that Alabama's defense pressures an offense, but Alabama's offense pressures your offense because you know they can score, and they can score this, you know, in a variety of ways. So there's pressure on the offense to keep up. And so that's just a different way to put pressure on an offense. But Alabama, you know, with Bryce Young, is probably going to score in the 30s. And that means that Tennessee's going to have to score in the 30s against a defense that, let me think, I don't think they've given up 30 yet. Did they give up 30 to Arkansas?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, did they? Yeah. I mean, but Tennessee's the best offense they've seen, no question.
Right.
So it's worth, you know, they may be able to do it, but, you know, this, for Tennessee to win this game, this probably has to be, you know, kind of a shootout, you know, or Bryce Young doesn't play.
All right, let's go to the Big 12. We've got a big top 25 matchup in Oklahoma State, who we've seen in this position before, and then TCU has come on strong late, beat Kansas, and now 5-0. Both of these teams averaging over 40 points per game. But in terms of where the Horned Frogs are, where are they coming from, and who do they have?
Well, I mean, they've got Max Duggan, a terrific quarterback who has linked up very well with new coach Sonny Dykes, who's an offensive mind, a terrific offensive mind, and you're seeing the results. I mean, TCU can score, and they can score as much as they need to win. Their defense is not terrific, doesn't have to be, with an offense that's clicking as well as it is. So, you know, that's going to be how they try and beat Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State will be the best defensive team that TCU has seen, maybe the best defensive team they see all season. So, you know, it'll be a challenge for them, but they're at home. I like Oklahoma State just because I think their defense can give them something that other teams have not been able to do so far. And then they're pretty competent themselves offensively, and this is a team that knows how to win, that has a history of being pretty competitive in this league. So I like Oklahoma State, but TCU is going to give them some fits, I'm sure.
All right, Big Ten, Michigan, home in Ann Arbor, taking on Penn State. The Wolverines with J.J. McCarthy put up a bunch of points. We get that. Penn State, James Franklin always seems to have this team ready. I love this matchup. Give me some details of where you see these two teams going.
Yeah, for Penn State, it's going to be stopping Blake Corum and make J.J. McCarthy beat you. Because Penn State's strength on defense is in the secondary, where they've got guys like, you know, Porter, who's terrific. I think King, they've got like two of the best defensive backs in the Big Ten, maybe even nationally, in their secondary. So if they can stop that running game and put pressure on them and make them throw the football because they have to throw the football, then I think that works to Penn State's advantage. Also, they're going to have to be productive offensively and balanced offensively. It can't just be Sean Clifford trying to win this game. They're going to have to be able to run the ball themselves. So that they can tone down maybe that Michigan pass rush.
And Michigan, is that a team like, look, they're going up against a very good Penn State team. But against Indiana, when they got off to the slow start, how much of that was self-inflicted? Too many penalties, some turnovers? How much of that was more self-inflicted than just getting a good battle from your opponent?
Yeah, there was certainly some of that. They were uncharacteristically sloppy, you know, early in the game. And then you have an assistant coach collapse on your sideline.
Yeah, right.
And it took them until halftime to sort of, you know, they found out he was going to be all right, and they were able to sort of settle down and refocus on the game at that point. But before Coach Hart collapsed, they were already struggling. That certainly didn't help. But the second half, they came out, and it looked, if they had played two halves like that, we wouldn't be talking about them. So I don't think I'm too worried about Michigan's early game malaise against Indiana.
Let's go to Syracuse, where the Orange are going to take on North Carolina State, a top 25 matchup in the ACC. What is it about Syracuse at 5-0? I mean, beating up Wagner, good win against Purdue, but what else is there that sticks out that makes Syracuse the 18th team in the country?
Well, the fact that they're undefeated. Syracuse would be higher if they had something that really stuck out.
Right.
You know, they don't. They have Wagner game, and then four. You know, I guess they beat Louisville pretty decently, but, you know, otherwise it's close wins. You know, probably Purdue should have, you know, Purdue self-destructed at the end of that game. But, you know, you got to credit Syracuse for taking advantage of that. You know, NC State will be a different challenge. They're a pretty decent defensive team. Is Leary going to play?
That's a good question, right? Yeah, I don't know.
That obviously matters a lot.
Yep, sure does.
You know, North Carolina State's offense is, is not the same without him. They're probably going to need him if they're going to win this game. I think that NC State could win it comfortably if he's healthy and he can play and be effective. But if he's not, this is a real fight, and Syracuse may win.
All right, the next one in the Pac-12, and this will be the later game on Saturday, as Utah will be hosting USC. USC, I mean, in terms of the upper echelon of college football, is USC right there near the top of all these other teams that we talk about?
I think if they win this game, they are.
Yeah,
this is their statement game so far in terms of what they can claim. You know, this is the reigning champion, and yeah, they lost at UCLA. And they lost at Florida to start the season, but this is still a really good team, and those games weren't at Utah, and this one is. So USC had better show up ready to play and have some ideas, because they're going to play in a pretty hostile environment against a team that's hungry and not willing to give up its title so easily, and able to win a game like this. So I picked USC, but I'm not 100% confident of that pick.
I'm glad you said that, because I've never been to a Utah game, but I lived out west. I lived in Colorado, and I knew a people who did, and they said, listen, it is a hostile environment there. You don't think – it's not on the place – some other places around the country, but it should be. That stadium is loud.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been either. I would like to.
Yeah, me too.
It's on my list of places I would like to go.
I'm with you, Jerry. I'm with you. It looks like a fun time in Salt Lake City for a football game.
On TV, you can see the impact it has on visitors.
Sure does.
Yeah. You know, so it's a raucous crowd, and I think they affect games.
It is so interesting to watch USC, because I'm guilty of this. I mean, maybe not everybody's guilty of this, but every Pac-12 team that starts off good, I go, yeah, we'll see. And then this team, I go, I don't know, this one's going to be around. I think this one's going to be around. You're right. This is a statement game for them.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at the Pac-12 race, the team that really has the advantage is Oregon.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, USC and Oregon don't play each other, which is actually an advantage for both of them in terms of the regular season race. But Oregon gets UCLA at home, they get Utah at home, they get Washington at home. So the next three best teams in the league all have to go to Oregon to play. So Oregon, to me, is really the favorite, as much, not only because I believe they're talented, but they also have a schedule that really works for them.
Outstanding. Jerry, good stuff as always, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
You got it, Jerry Palm, CBS Sports College Football. Those are the big games around the Power 5 conferences. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Jerry Palm. Dan Wolkin, who we used to have on the show a lot. Why don't we have Dan on again? Because did he get surly with us one time?
No.
No?
We could have him on.
Who was it that? No, I thought. Dan, we get Dan
on. I mean,
on
it's
every
Dan. Dan always. I mean, but it's, I think it's just his
demeanor.
His shtick.
Yeah. I remember when Dan covered Air Force back in the old days.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
No, he loves coming on.
Yeah, he does? Okay, cool. I like Dan.
But it's just his shtick.
This is why I'm glad you're a part of this show, because I remember. I must be losing my memory, because sometimes I'll remember a guest and I'll go, oh, no, that was this guest. And I'll go,
yeah,
oh,
no, there was a guest that you did get into a little.
Was that the Atlanta Braves guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd probably never come on again.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I haven't reached out to him yet.
I don't know. That was the one time I went, no, you're insane.
Yeah. No, they're fine with that one playoff, that one World Series.
Yeah, I'm like,
I mean,
you gotta be kidding.
And I agree with you. I mean, as a Dodgers fan. If the Dodgers don't make it to the World Series this year, I'm going to be very disappointed. It's a wasted season.
Like, I don't think that guy understood how big the Braves were. That wasn't just a Cinderella club that was like, yeah, they dominated the 90s.
They were the team of the 90s.
They were the team in the 90s.
Forget the Yankees. Forget the Phillies at the beginning of the 90s, the Blue Jays at the beginning. They were the team.
When they first came aboard, like, they went from, like, worst to first. That was the story. That was cute. But then after a while, it was like, no, these are the Braves. They're great. Like, then they sort of they shredded that, and then they moved into this sort of era where they were just dominating baseball. But anyway, Dan Wolkin has a column about college basketball. He says, quote, my sweet, perfect 64-team NCAA tournament bracket is gone and never coming back, and I'm afraid powers there in college sports will now make it 96 or 128. Bigger isn't always better. Yeah, I agree, but I've said this. I hope to God that doesn't happen, because I don't want to go to legal size paper. I just don't. I don't want offices to now start buying legal size paper.
You're gonna
so
have
they
to.
Can print brackets up. But yeah, that's what they're going to make us do.
Yep.
They're going to make us do. So eight and a half by 11, or is it, it's 8.5 by 11 or 11 by 14 now or something?
No, you're going to have to get the magnifying glass out from Santa Claus, the movie.
Once, I'm telling you right now, once they ruin the bracket, the filling out the bracket thing, once they ruin that, then you're cutting off so much of your audience for that thing.
Yeah.
You so much of it. Because everybody participates in that bracket, even people that don't follow college basketball. And if you get to a point where the secretary goes, I don't want to fill this out, or the promotions guy goes, I don't know, it's too small. I don't know.
You'll still be able to do the one like on the app or online.
Oh, sure. You can do all that.
But there's something about seeing the entire bracket. Or like, you know, when it's bracket time here, we post them all up on the wall. That way you can't go back on it.
You can't cheat.
And you see the entire bracket.
No, you're right. Like offices are now setting up like online groups where you can like do it here. Which is fine.
You know, that's great.
And that keeps track of the new technology. But you're right. There's too much old school, like, come pick up your bracket. There's always that one person.
It's just, you know, we have it posted on the wall. Then you come in on that Monday and you go, man, I got a lot of red.
Exactly.
What happened?
Yeah. It's like, print your brackets. When they stop saying print your brackets and they start going, go online to your bracket, all right, then you can do expand it. But as long as you're doing the print your bracket thing, remember when you were a kid, like Sports Illustrated would have it out in a beautiful, like, pull-out thing? I used to pull that thing
out. Your local paper would have it ready for you.
You could cut it out of the newspaper. Yes. Remember those good old days? I know, go online and all that, but... Yeah, but if you got to go to legal size paper to fill these things out, who wants to do that?
Or if you have to go to like the size of a newspaper,
you can't
hang that on a wall.
No,
wallpaper.
And, by the way, is there 64 other good teams that belong in this tournament?
No,
not really. We only complain about three.